Speech is a manifestation of our soul, and in oaths, we utilize this spiritual gift to link our souls to God. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, episode 38, A Man for All Seasons and the Sanctity of the Oath. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-minute mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
It is a scene that arrives toward the end of Robert Bolt's play and later film, A Man for All Seasons. Thomas More is on trial in England for his refusal to take an oath acknowledging Henry VIII as the head of the church in that country. Thomas Cromwell, leading the prosecution, argues that More's refusal to take the oath should be equivalent to openly and verbally denying the king's preeminence in that position. He says, "The oath was put to loyal subjects all over the country who all declared his grace's title to be just and good, but when it came to the prisoner, he refused. He calls this silence. Yet, is there a man in this court, is there a man in this country, who does not know Sir Thomas More's opinion of this title? Yet how can this be? Because this silence betokened, nay, this silence was not silence at all, but most eloquent denial." And Thomas More says, not so, Master Secretary. The maxim of the law is silence gives consent. If, therefore, you wish to construe what my silence betokened, you must construe that I consented, not that I denied." So Thomas Cromwell says, "Is that in fact what the world construes from it? Do you pretend that is what you wish the world to construe from it?" And here I'm quoting from most of the lines of the scene. And More responds, "The world must construe according to its wits. This court must construe according to the law." More, in other words, argues that when it comes to oaths, what matters above all is what one says, not what one can construe from what one does not say. And while the oath in A Man for All Seasons revolves around the topic in Christian theology, the lines and language of A Man for All Seasons are quite useful in considering the many mitzvot in the Torah that relate to oaths and the sanctity of the sworn, spoken word. Thus we have one of the Ten Commandments, "Lo taneh b'reacha et shaker," thou shalt not say false witness against your fellow. Other laws relate to the punishment and cultic repentance for false oaths in court. And then there is the general obligation in the Torah of keeping one's word when one takes an oath outside of court. When an oath is uttered, "Lo yachil divaro," he shall not violate his word. "Kichol hayotze mipiv yaaseh," all that comes out of his mouth, he shall do. The Bible also discusses how punishments are applied to edim zomimin, conspiring witnesses that testify falsely. Another detail reflecting the severe sanctity of the sworn spoken statement. Why are oaths so sacred? The answer begins with the traditional Aramaic translation of Genesis utilized by Jews today, wherein the description of God breathing a soul into Adam and making him come to life is rendered in Aramaic as, "And Adam became a ruach memalala, a speaking spirit." Speech is a manifestation of our soul, and in oaths, we utilize this spiritual gift to link our souls to God. Here too, A Man for All Seasons provides us with eloquent language that is for us as Jews religiously relevant. In another scene in the film and the play, More's daughter Meg is seeking to convince her father to take the oath and thereby save his life. Thomas More is told by another, "Meg's under oath to persuade you." And he replies, "That was silly, Meg. How do you plan to do that?" Then Meg speaks to her father and says, "Father, God more regards the thoughts of the heart than the words of the mouth. Well, so you've always told me." And he says, "Yes." So Meg replies, "Then say the words of the oath, and in your heart think otherwise." To this More responds, "What is an oath then, but words we say to God? Listen, Meg, when a man takes an oath, he's holding his own self in his own hands, like water. And if he opens his fingers then, he needn't hope to find himself again. Some men aren't capable of this, but I'd be loath to think your father one of them." Oaths, in other words, are expressions of our very selves. And when the sanctity of the sworn spoken word is combined with the act of witnessing in court about one's fellow human being, then what is at stake is serious indeed. Perhaps the best expression of this comes from Whitaker Chambers in his book Witness, which describes how Chambers had abandoned the communist cabal of which he was once a part and courageously testified against Alger Hiss in front of Congress. As I described in my series on the Ten Commandments, the book presents us not only with the tale of his testimony, it also gives us a window into the life of Whitaker Chambers, especially his abandonment of the idolatry of communism for biblical faith. And in the introduction, Chambers addresses his children, and he writes, quote, "In time, therefore, when the sum of your experience of life gives you authority, you will ask yourselves the question, what was my father? I will give you an answer. I was a witness. I do not mean a witness for the government or against Elder Hiss and the others. Nor do I mean the short, squat, solitary figure trudging through the impersonal halls of public buildings to testify before congressional committees, grand juries, loyalty boards, courts of law. A man is not primarily a witness against something. That is only incidental to the fact that he is a witness for something. In witnessing, the oath that is the expression of the self is brought to the fore in testimony about matters that also concern others. This brings us to the famous conclusion of A Man for All Seasons, when Richard Rich testifies falsely against Moore, sealing Moore's doom. And as Rich walks past Moore, he notices a medallion that now is hanging from Rich, who had always sought power and position at court. Thomas Moore says, "There is one question I would like to ask the witness. That's a chain of office you're wearing. May I see it? The Red Dragon, what's this?" And Thomas Cromwell says, "Sir Richard is appointed Attorney General for Wales." And Thomas Moore says, "For Wales? Why, Richard, it profits a man nothing to give his soul for the whole world, but for Wales." The prohibitions and obligations concerning the spoken word, and especially concerning testimony, are reminders of what it means to be akin to Adam, to be a speaking spirit. It tells us to remember the power of words, and therefore, the incredibly positive impact that our speech can have in our lives. This is Mayor Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.